Here we are with another podcast from RRC Training. And in the studio, as usual, is Dr. David Towson, Training Director at RRC. And today's guest is, this is exciting, Stuart Naylor, International Manager for NEBOSH. Morning, David.
Good morning.
So, what delights have we today, Dave?
Well, we're going to be talking about the international scene.
Ooh, nightclubbing, parties, communicable diseases.
No, you're thinking of European parliamentary lobbying.
Oh, right, sorry.
Seriously, the issue today is international health and safety.
Ah, I guess as much. Presumably that's why Stuart is our guest today. I mean, I don't want to cast aspersions on your forward planning ability, David, but where is he?
Well, Stuart's ill.
Come on, that's not an excuse. I mean, why didn't he try his cat ate his dog, or more likely he's travelling the world discussing health and safety standards in the near and far east, or intergalactically?
But he is ill.
Sniffles and snuffles, man flu, or something serious?
Well, that's enough. He's not fit enough to be here, but we're lucky to have Dee Arp from NEBOSH here to help out.
Ah, morning, Dee. We've met before, haven't we?
Hi, Toby. Yes, we have, more than once.
Delighted to see you again. How is Stuart?
Look, can we start? In terms of health and safety, probably the most influential international organisations are the UN, the ILO and the WHO.
Well, lots of organisations seem to have international in their names. I mean, isn't that more wish fulfilment than the truth?
Well, quite right. But what do you expect? It makes an organisation seem big and important. We all know a lot of people who think like that. Anyway, regardless of that, the International Labour Organization has been pretty active.
Ooh, sounds like a midwifery college.
Well, they create conventions that can be adopted by national governments.
Conventions? Adoption? Somebody somewhere must be doing something.
Well, ILO conventions are attempts to set minimum international standards on various matters, including worker health and safety. They're often likened to international treaties. Here's an example, the Occupational Safety and Health Convention, 1981.
Oh, yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
This deals with basic duties of governments, employers and employees for workplace safety and health. There are sector and substance-specific conventions too.
Yeah, but conventions don't carry actual legal obligations, do they?
Well, no. For that to happen, they have to be adopted and ratified by national governments. But quite a few nations have adopted them and used them as a model for national laws. I'm sure you recognise employers shall ensure that, so far as is reasonably practicable, workplaces are safe and without risk to health. That's pretty common national requirements now.
Hmm. And is that all they do? I mean, I'm assuming they have a great raft of paperwork supporting this.
Well, of course, certainly they do. They have things like recommendations, codes of practice and even training materials and other guides. Most of these are available online for free.
You know, I mean, isn't this all a bit lame? I mean, the truth is people like to do things their own way, to be different. So international stuff is always going to be vague, flimsy, pretty useless, surely.
Well, it's a good point, and some of it certainly seems that way. But there is nothing wrong with having differences in the detail, but the overall principles and approach being the same. They're not really that many different approaches to protecting people at work. If you agree on these fundamentals, surely that's a good start.
Well, that's a start, I'll grant you. Carry on. Yeah.
Well, and don't forget things take time as well. For example, the rules for movement of dangerous goods throughout the world are internationally agreed and tightly regulated now.
Oh, I'm sure we all feel safer.
Well, I certainly do. And now there are lots of ISO standards on anything from equipment design to management systems. The point is that an awful lot of good principles can be shared regardless of local or national circumstances. So some consistency makes an awful lot of sense, particularly when it comes to safety. Sure, you'll also need some local legal knowledge too. Some local requirements may be there because of specific regional issues or campaigns.
And some things are probably so obscure you'd never guess them in a million years.
Absolutely, like fill in form XYZ if you have a case of dengue fever and don't eat durian fruit on the premises.
Dengue fever? So what happens with training qualifications? I mean, do they travel?
Well, historically, there's certainly been a problem with mutual assessment and recognition of qualifications. Things are moving along in some regions with qualification frameworks being developed. There are some qualifications that are deliberately international around now.
That's why Dee is here. I mean, there's always something to promote when you get in front of a microphone. So, Dee, what has NEBOSH got to offer for the international market?
Well, we have international versions of both our popular general certificate and the diploma in occupational safety and health. Both of these are based on health and safety principles rather than any specific national legislation.
So you don't mention laws at all then?
We do mention some specific laws, but only by way of example of the application of principles. Once you start looking, you begin to realise that many principles are pretty similar. They may say it slightly differently, but once you cut through it, you see the remarkable similarities.
Indeed, the world is getting smaller, and ideas, equipment and techniques travel quickly.
Absolutely. And as far as possible, the qualifications are based on international conventions, recommendations, codes of practice, standards and other guidance, like that of the ILO and ISO.
But aren't you in danger of making it far too removed from reality and practice? Doesn't it create muddle-headedness?
That is a danger, of course. But let me give you an example, Toby. Let's take noise exposure.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Clearly, there are regional and national variations in noise exposure limits. The UK calls them exposure action values and limit values. But the US calls them permissible exposure limits. 80, 85 or 90 decibels, take your pick. But the definitions of things like average daily exposures, the principle of having a regulatory exposure limit, and the types of action that can be taken to protect workers are all pretty similar. Yeah. So, we can still have practical detail without being too prescriptive.
Construction is another example. Post-scaffolding design, dangers from excavations and so on are going to be pretty universal.
Uh-huh. You mean things don't just disappear when you cross a border and call them something different? You do surprise me. I thought that was the whole purpose of yellow lines on the road and around dangerous machinery. It's culturally inbred that it's a line too far for anyone to cross.
Yes, that may well be the case in your world, Toby. But without the detail, such qualifications would be pretty ineffectual and wishy-washy. If you arm people with principles and teach them to apply them, they can spot dangers and select solutions.
As another example, the diploma looks at the nature of different types of law, prescriptive versus goal setting, and the role of the UN, ILO, and self-regulation.
But is it all worth it?
Well, IOSH recognises international qualifications in their membership grades, so you can become an IOSH member wherever you live or work.
Wow, no greater honour and all that. Even such as I, committed to health and safety from my beachfront Caribbean condo, could be a member. So many must feel such failures, not having made it into IOSH membership.
It's that kind of cynicism that makes us love you.
Oh, well, thank you, Dave. Planning anything else at NEBOSH, Dee?
Yes, we do have other international qualifications planned, but right now I have to get travelling.
Ah, internationally, of course, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, the Great Wall of China, the Mekong Delta, the Everglades of Florida.
Leicester, actually.
The teeming Kasbah, markets of Marrakesh, the glories of Moorish Andalusia, the eternal city of Rome.
That's all for this session, Toby. We're off. Bye.
The food, the wine, the sea and mountains of La Belle France, the lush greenery of the Amazon basin, the excitement of Rio's bars and beaches, the pyramids of Giza, St. Paul's and the London Eye. Where's everyone gone? Call Freephone on 0800 756 9410 for more information on the whole range of RRC's fully accredited courses, health, safety, quality, acoustics and environmental, or to discuss a personal training plan with an RRC advisor. Alternatively, email info@rrc.co.uk or visit www.rrc.co.uk.